would be nicer, it would be more often. I just wanted to, I love opening by praising. I love praising and worshiping, and I love what my sister mentioning what she was having in her house last night, and all that, and seeing the transformation of the soul. And I wanted to share a little bit about, I'm so honored and I'm so glad that God can use me right now, you know, just to be in here, in his house, you know. If 15 years ago, actually 15 years ago, if you wouldn't be this person. 15 years ago, I walked into the church just like this, you know, full of people, and I was totally a messed up person, really messed up. I wouldn't be looking like the way you're looking at this person right now. Maybe it could be some people in that church could have been putting me down in the way of how I walked up that day into that church. And maybe some were making a lot of things about myself, the way how I walked into the church. But praise God, that day, it was the last day that I was the way I walked into that church that night. I was totally in darkness, you know, after being for 3 days in the bench, you know, and in totally darkness, just being totally opposite person that you're looking at right now. And it's so hard for me not to share right moment that there is a, you gotta praise God every day. There's always a hope. There's always a transformation. And God always, always answer prayers. Not in the time that we're expecting it. Probably my parents, my mom probably was praying for me. Hopefully that one day that this woman getting older and older and still living in the darkness. And one day, just that day, November 12, 2002, that was my last day, and totally, now you can see, I'm totally different person, praising God. So we always get opportunity, don't go by perceptions, you know, because sometimes we go by perceptions and we see a person, a messed up person, and we look in the outside. Well, we have to ask Jesus to give us different eyes, because Jesus don't look the outside. Jesus look go through the heart of the person, and I look at Jesus look at November 12th through my heart. That I will say yes, come to my life today. I will accept you. Okay. So my the Bible study, the Lord put it in my heart is in the book of Acts, chapter 12. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, I can give you a little bit summary about this chapter. I divided it, there's three parts of this chapter. The first, the beginning of the chapter, it starts with the King Herod. The King Herod tried to harass all the church, all the believers, you know, the new transformation. Remember in the past, Saul has been transformed. Remember in the road that they through Damascus, Saul got changed, which is Paul later. So now we see all the believers, now it's going to be a chaos in Jerusalem. So it starts from the King Herod trying to harass the believers, the new believers. Now, he not only that, he put Peter in prison, and on top of the putting in Peter in prison, he killed James. Now, if you remember who the Apostle James, when Jesus was in walking with us, he has his circle. Of course, we all know about the 12 disciples, But he has the circle, which is what? Peter, John, and James. James and Mark, and James and John, they're brothers, you know? So what happened? So here's this is the first part that I summarized. Now in the middle of the chapter, what we're gonna see in the middle of the chapter is when the church go constantly, fervently praying. Praying for who? Because Peter died in prison. So this part in the middle of the chapter we see. Now what we see at the end of the chapter, we see it's a miracle thing that it happened. The chapter didn't end like this. The chapter ends good. Peter got free. Also, the King Herod got struck him. You know, he died. You know, this one. And then not only that, the believers, the church, the Christianity increased and multiplied. So that brings me one of my favorite verses when I'm going through. Sometimes we all go through up and downs. We all, no matter how spiritual we are in our life, you know, sometimes when Satan say, "I'm gonna attack you. I'm gonna see how spiritual you are. You know, I'm gonna check you out." And sometimes God allows it. God did allow when Job, if everybody remember Job, God allowed Satan. So my favorite verse is John 10:10. So what happened? The stealer comes what? To steal and what? And kill. Eh? But the bird, my favorite part, it doesn't end right there. My favorite part says that, but I come to what? To give you what? Life. And not only that, abundantly. That's my favorite. I always claim that. Every time when my life going in chaos, I look at it and I say, yes, he tried to break up my marriage, he tried to break up my family, he tried to test me here. This is Satan. But he knows ahead of time what God has for me. But God has something better, so I gotta be patient, you know, the hard part. And that's what we constantly here, the middle part, we have to be constantly in relationship, in the prayers. Now, back to my first part in the Acts number one, it was saying the introduction about the King Herod with the killing James, and also Peter died in prison. We see who is this guy King Herod. I don't know if it comes to Christmas very soon. Everybody knows the story about Jesus, Jesus being born, you know. Well, King Herod is this guy is a very evil guy, you know, and looks like it came through the DNA, through the family, because his grandfather, he was the one who killed all the babies when he knew that Jesus is becoming, is the new baby. So imagine all those 2 years old baby got killed just because this guy, King Herod the Great. So now, this is the grandfather. Now we're talking about the uncle. The uncle of this guy, the guy that right now in Acts 12, this uncle, he's the one who was in the trial of Jesus. What a coincidence, no? When he was born, he can't get away from Jesus, right? So now he was in the trial of Jesus. And now what happened with that? And now back to this story again. This king Herod the Agrippa, he tries to harass all the churches, all the believers, and not to harass all the believers. Now he's going to the grand prize. Who's the grand prize? Peter, you know, because Peter is the one of the circle, you know, and everybody knows. So the Peter is one of the disciples, one who's gonna spread out the word, you know. We sent Saul and Paul is gonna spread out to the Gentiles. But Peter is in here in Jerusalem.
So he, what he did, what this guy, the evil guy said, well, if I put this one, if I decapitate Peter, what the church is gonna be? I'm gonna be popular. I'm already popular. I killed James, and nothing happened. So the church, what is gonna be? It's gonna be everybody in panic. Everybody in church. I would be. You know, look at when they hear from ISIS. You know, they're killing Christianity. Everybody's in panic. Everybody's. So no, kill this one. He got his grand prize. In jail, and Peter gets arrested. He's in prison. Now, during the prison, now in the middle of the chapter, when we read, if we continue reading the middle of the chapter, we hear all the rest of the believers, all his friends, his brothers and sisters, they kept in the house, what doing? Praying. Praying. Sometimes when, like my sister wasn't here, any other prayers, we can say we say prayers, but sometimes, like for them, this believer, this is the only and the last hope for them. They don't need to go a lawyer, hire a lawyer to get Peter out of the jail, right? They don't need a rich guy to pay the bail bonds, right? So they need the only one rich man, and that's God, you know, in heaven. That's the only one who's actually going, and he's gonna solve my problem. And that's in our life. When something happens, what we do, sometimes I put my fingers back to Marie. What do I do? I pick up the phone and I call everybody. I call my husband, I call my mom, I call everyone, I call Pastor Jay. There's nothing wrong with calling Pastor Jay. There's nothing calling it. What about calling Jesus? Jeremiah 33:3, call in heaven. We do that. We do. There's nothing wrong with that call on brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. But we should go into our closet. Mm-hmm. Alone and call Dr. Jesus for that sickness. Mm-hmm. Call the Jehovah Jireh for that provision. Call, if anything, just call God. And that's one of the things. And here, this is so beautiful. Here, they kept praying and praying for Peter. The Peter was in jail. And they knew the following day, he's gonna be killed the same way James was killed. Mm-hmm. And you all know he was by the sword. The sword means he was cut off the head, you know, decapitated. So beheaded, exactly. And so this one was waiting on Peter. Mm-hmm. So Peter is now, they put it for the grand prize for Peter, you know, King Herod put, look at how many guards, 14 guards. I mean, they put one guard with, I put a chain, this one with a chain of the guard, each hand, each leg, and then in front of the gate, in front of the prison. Imagine that type of high security thing for that person. Why King Herod has to go through this? So much security for Peter, for right? Yeah. So much security. So here's Peter in jail, and now something so beautiful. And now let's hear how God works in mysterious way, mm-hmm. how God answers prayers. Sometimes mm-hmm. we wanted it at that moment with the chaos. Mm-hmm. We seen James get killed. Now I'm heartbroken, and they say, what are we going to do now? Stay. But here's God didn't work immediately at that moment. God allowed to have Peter go through jail and all that, and God, now he's going to use the miracle to release him out of the jail. But the way how he released him, he said he sent an angel to jail. So the angel didn't come and took him and just disappeared out of, no, he didn't do that. It says on the Bible, very specific, he wake him up and touch him, try to wake him up. And then if the angel not didn't wake him up, he was awake, and he told him, put on your shoes, pick up your thing, follow me. I mean, he was telling him what to do. Isn't it sometimes, I don't know, God sometimes waiting, sometimes when I can't sleep and I'm on my bed and it's late night and I'm struggling, I say, but deep down in my heart, I'm praying because I know maybe God wants to talk to me, but I'm kind of lazy because I don't want to get up and I'm in my blanket, my cover. My prayer room is my closet. Our closet, my husband and my, we have our closet supposed to is our prayer room. So I said, I want to go to the closet, I'm sorry. But isn't it something, until when God really wants to speak with you, he won't leave you. He won't let you go fall asleep until he speaks to you.
Yeah.
I get up, go to the closet, I don't remember what I prayed, what I talked to God. I go back to sleep, I fall asleep. But I wasted hours just to make my last decision. So now going back to in here, in my sermons, here's the angel is telling the step by step what to do to Peter. You know, wake up. Put at your shoes, pick up, follow me in this. Isn't it how God tells us sometimes, step by step, what to do?
Mm-hmm.
But we want the shortcut. Sometimes we say, oh God, this my way, it's kind of better, God. But I'm still going to do it at the end, but I'm going to cut this part. You know, we do it all the time. And the Bible is so full of notes, it's telling us, you know, instructions. What to do, but sometimes we're so stubborn. I'm a stubborn person, you know. So, and here he goes in the first thing he says, he still don't know. Peter don't know what happened. He's following the angel. And he get up out of there. He has no chains. He get up out of the gate. He get up the gate, he noticed the angel disappeared. He left it alone. And then Peter, all this time, he was thinking that he was dreaming. He having a vision. All this time. And then he realized that, wait a minute, it was God sent his angel to release me out of the vision. Wow. Sometimes, many, many, many times, God delivered us from so many things that we've been praying for, but we're so blinded. We're still in the prison. God has been telling us, step by step, do this, do that, but we're still holding on. We're still in the prison. We still want to go back to the way we used to be. And we not let go. And here's God, and he's free. He's not with shame. He's not. And now he's realized, I say, God really released me. What he does, he goes straight, he's going to straight to the house of prayer. That's the awesome, beautiful thing. He goes to the awesome prayer. He knew where Martha and all the believers were getting together. That's so awesome. But me and my husband, when we got first saved, we got saved. My husband accepted the Lord on Sunday in the morning. He was messed up, worse than me. I don't know who was the worst, to be honest. And on that Sunday, he accepted the Lord. I didn't, because for me, I was in the back of my head. If I accept the Lord, my party's over. I was all worried about my party's over, which is I accepted it 2 days ago, after when my brother came to visit us in visitation home. That's when I accepted the Lord. And my husband, we were thinking on Tuesday, that night, we said, what are we going to do on Friday? Because Friday was supposed to be our party started from Friday all the way to the weekend. And we were just planning, we have to do something. We have to keep something. And what we did, we signed out to the prayer. Our church, we used to have a prayer room where you go and pray for other people. And we signed out for an hour. And here in my head, why are we going to pray for an hour? That's all it was going through my head. There's no, what? 1 hour that Friday night ended up 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And since then, and we're here. So we're here. So what I can relate here, Peter, back going back to share the excitement to the believer. Here's a knock in the door, and here he's knocking the door, and here's what happened. Rhoda. Rhoda is one of the servants from the house. And she heard his voice and said, it's Peter. She's going back. She don't open the door, but she's telling everybody, I heard Peter. And they kept saying, she's crazy. No, Peter, are you sure? So this one went back and forth and he's still outside the door. Could you imagine? So until he gets inside and he shared what God had done in his life. The God delivered. God sent an angel. God sent an angel to the delivery from church, from the prison. I hope I don't go too long. You let me know. Okay, and this one gets me back to one of the church. It's so beautiful. It's talking about believing angels. I believe in the angels, like wings and all that, but I do believe we all are angels. For somebody else could be. And God, we can be an answer prayer for somebody else. And God uses it. And you don't think so, you don't think, but you could be the answer prayer for somebody. When my husband, all this thing happened during there when we got saved, he can tell you later, he went to vacation. He had to go to vacation. And I realized I was almost about to lose my job. Our daughter was 12 years old. And here's me, I was losing in 2 weeks, I'm gonna lose my job. So my husband got, I don't have family, we're moved from California, running away from the law, but Jesus was waiting in us here in Texas. So we got here and waiting, and I realized I was in my office, and wait a minute. My husband is gone. I'm losing my, I don't have job in 2 weeks. So no making long story, I was in the car and I just went crazy and started in the car and I was crying in the car and crying and all I was saying, Lord, don't let me lose my faith on you. Lord, I'm losing it right now, but don't let me lose my faith. I'm driving. I stopped the car. And I ended up in a restaurant I never been. That was my first time going. It was Louis. Then you go, it's a buffet, then you get the tray. Okay, I got the tray, and I got in front of the lady. So the table facing the lady. I put my tray on the table, and the lady got up from her table and came to me and says to me, I'm here to tell you, the God sent me to tell you, don't lose your faith. When I heard that, my body started, and I start thinking, oh, I never thought it was God. I thought it was something the lady wants my money. I was thinking totally opposite. She's going to ask me money. I don't have money. And then she begged me to sit down with her. She came to my table, I put my tray down, and she said, can I speak? And she told me, I was visiting my daughter, and I had to leave the house to come in this place because God put it in my heart to come to tell you, don't lose your faith. And I not only that, I'm gonna tell you, your husband is gonna be coming home at the beginning of the next year. And at that time, I said, can't be.
possible because I talked to lawyers, my in-laws prayed. My lawyers told me, Maria, I'm going to be honest with you, with everything I can do, with everything with your husband, he's gonna stay there for at least 5 years. And that didn't make sense. So, to make a long story, my husband got out 6 months later. Wow. At the beginning, she got up, she gave me a hug, and she left. And so, when you can have an encounter with angels, and you don't know. To me, that was an angel. And I still remember, I could be angel, I'd be called an angel by other people. I'm not an angel, I don't have a... But you could be, pray somebody asking for prayer, you could be used by God, but then praying his... the answer that God has for somebody else. So, and then back to the story, the end of the story ends, and you can go back with the chapter 12. It's a beautiful chapter in Acts 12, and the beautiful end is, it ends the King Herod, the evil guy, God struck him with wounds, you know, he died. Peter got free. And what happened with the church? Instead of shrinking, it said the church multiplied and God increased and multiplied in that. So God works, look at how it works. He used a bad circumstance, but ended up for the good circumstances. And that could be, and that's my prayer for all of us, my sisters and brothers, that no matter what kind of circumstances that you are going through, you can be financial, you can be health issues, you can be with family issues, just pray to God, and God always answers prayers.
Amen. 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 Thank you.